WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. But to reference over at MBG Films, check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you're on Twitch and you just, you know, you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available, if you know what that is, well, click the purple button up at the top because it'll tell you what it is, number one. And number two, you get to see if you have one available. And if you'd like to use it here, we'd really, really, really appreciate it. But if you don't want to, we understand. No judgment here, but please use it. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Somehow we're here. We're live at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward.
I think the universe is against us. I don't know why.
Make sure you're using creator code Rocket2499. That's all I'm saying. Because it's the only way things get better. It's legitimately the only way things will get better around here. I'm just saying. It's a thing. I don't know.
You're just saying?
Yeah. We're here. We're live. Somehow. We made it.
And we're not alone. We have a friend.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark, intern shark Kane Kittens.
So this means I'm temporarily promoted to the NXT analyst for tonight, right?
Apparently.
Ask the NXT analyst because the NXT analyst is on assignment somewhere.
Woo! A promotion!
Actually, you probably should get a promotion because you're more educated than the rest of us, so...
Does that mean I get a raise?
No.
No. Wait, okay. You're getting paid for this? I need to talk to Tim if he's getting paid.
He's not getting paid.
Okay. Then we're good. We're fine. We're fine.
Can I just get some V-Bucks?
Nope.
No.
Crap. Okay.
You can buy your own. I mean, you can use credit card Rocksock and Fortnite Item Shop and buy your V-Bucks and stuff like that when you buy some skins and emotes and whatever.
Battle passes, you know, whatever.
Backlinks. Yeah,
I got a notice today that apparently I have used that code and it is my favorite, so.
Hey!
All right!
Woo! All
right, we're not here to talk about credit code Rocksock and Fortnite Item Shop. We're here to talk about NXT TakeOver Toronto. Or NXT TakeOver 26, as Beth was calling it all night.
Technically, let's just call it Toronto, because, like, 26... Like, I get why they call 25 25, because it's NXT TakeOver 25. They've done 25 shows, but to say, oh, it's TakeOver 26, it's like, no, just call it Toronto. Like, hit it on the big ones, like 20, 25, 30, so on and so forth, you know, or 25, 50, you know, whatever.
Whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be, but yeah, you know, let's not just start calling it 26. So anyway, yes, this aired live from Toronto, and this was
good.
This was a very good show. It was a very good offering from NXT in terms of it being the best one yet. I don't think it quite gets that moniker.
There was a little bit of a letdown tonight.
Just a little bit. Like, it was good. It was very, very good, don't get me wrong. And, like, everybody busted their butts, and the main event was fantastic. But there was just something missing.
It felt like it never got into that fifth gear that it has in the past with other ones that we've seen,
A couple matches did.
No, a couple matches did, but with some of them, it just seemed like it stalled when you're trying to shift gears, and it just kind of...
It was missing the chemistry. Didn't have the chemistry.
Yeah.
Here's some of the problems, alright? Number one, they taped 6-7 weeks of TV in one shot. So they, to get an audience invested, they just sort of like, it was patchwork. While the build-up was good in places, you saw tonight, the crowd didn't connect with some talent. Like, Mia Yim. For as good as Mia Yim is, the crowd did not connect to her.
Mm-mm.
It was a clear statement that what they were doing on TV, her attacking Shayna's girls, was working for a TV audience, but for a live crowd who's really hot for NXT, she never clicked. On the opposite, it started out with Candice LeRae. She was not clicking either, but she was able to win over the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she was able to win that crowd over, so it's like it's a tale of two things. Like, she won them over. Mia Yim and Shannon couldn't win the crowd over. They never got the crowd in.
And I feel like for Mia and Shayna, they got outdid by Candice and Io. Like, between the two matches, the Io-Candice match was the stronger of the two.
Oh, yeah. It was much stronger of the two. But it's still, they grabbed the crowd.
Yeah, I think part of it is just the styles that each of those matches used. With Io and Candice, you had more of a kind of all around, you had emotional investment, you had things, you know, that could get the crowd into it. No offense to Shayna and Mia, but they both work a little bit of a slower, both of a more, like, targeted approach. And I think when that happens, it slows it down and it's hard to keep the crowd involved.
They also seem to step slow. Like, they were doing charges and runs at each other, and it just felt, everything felt a step slow, which hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not what you want. Like, it hurt the match. Like, it was, the Twitters were all in on this match. But it's like, as the match went, it's like, just didn't, it never got there. The men's three-way for the North American Championship was good. But it never.
This
got
one lacked
you.
A real sense of chemistry, like I said. This, they did not click with each other like they really should have. And as much as Roderick Strong was the glue in that match, it just, there was a disconnect. Something didn't feel right in this, and I'm not quite sure what it was. Like, the match on its own, the match was fine. It was entertaining. It was good. They were busting their backsides. Like, I don't want to take anything away from them in terms of that, but it's just, there wasn't that, it almost lacked the spark that you needed. It's like, you had a really good story going into this, and I think you had kind of that curveball come in when you threw Pete Dunne into it, and it was like, and Pete almost, I feel like Pete was almost a non-factor in this, which was really surprising.
He had his moments, but it's like, yeah, it just sort of like, it never clicked. And also felt short.
Yeah, it wasn't as long as I thought it would be.
Like, it never got to the point where, oh, hey, it's on point to be something special. we never got there. It never took us to that moment. It's like, well, that's disappointing. Like, that was, like, really disappointing. It's like, we never got to the point where this would be a really good match. And it's like, oh, okay.
And interestingly enough, no titles changed hands tonight.
For as much as we were saying it was people's time and all of that.
Shayna Baszler, man. she made it through another takeover.
Status quo for this takeover.
I mean, and I
but
think
not that... for lack of trying.
No, and I think that was the other disappointing factor, is I think a lot of people, at least for us, all of us were kind of ready for a change, and it didn't come. And so you're like, okay, all right, I guess this is fine. We'll move on from this. But yeah, I feel like that's kind of the letdown too, is it's like they just, you didn't get the changes you were expecting to get.
And this feels like one of those big NXT shows where you should have had at least one thing where you're like, okay, this is going to shake some stuff up.
Yeah. And because go ahead.
I was going to say, this felt like a holdover takeover in the end.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's one of those, you know, it's like an Extreme Rules or I can't even think of some of the ones for
Let the
WWE.
Good times roll.
Thank you, NJ Breeze Babe, for following us on the Twitch.
Hey, thank you. Continue. Welcome.
It felt like an intermediary event for them, where it was one of those, you know, when it's the WrestleMania takeover, you know some big things are happening. When it's the Rumble one, you know some big things are happening. When there's other ones, you can go, okay, there could be a title change or maybe not. This one just felt like one of those in the middle, where it was like, okay, well, stuff happened. But it's not that paradigm shifting that we usually see with one of the big events. I think that kind of set the tone.
You want to know something? Mm-hmm. You want to know something fun? Mm-hmm. Hi, Amy. That's Amy. Hi. The triple threat match was the longest match besides the main event.
Really?
Wow.
It went 17 minutes and 25 seconds. 24 seconds, I should say.
Okay.
It didn't feel that long.
Maybe it was the pacing of it. Maybe it had a little bit quicker pace than everything else.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe it was the ending that felt like it came out of nowhere. It just felt like it was shorter.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that a little more when we talk about the full match. But yeah, it was like an RKO out of nowhere. It just hit and we were like, huh?
I mean, I think the big thing coming out of this is that we were all waiting for the big twist. Because again, it's like it's a takeover. It's SummerSlam weekend. You're expecting something big to happen at this show. And it just never came. Like, it just never materialized. And it's like, okay, all right. So they didn't have a big moment. That's okay. That's fine. But, you know, I think we've all gotten used to some really big surprise happening at some point, generally at the end, at the show, whether it's somebody showing up, somebody attacking somebody, somebody turning, somebody, you know, doing whatever. You know, it's where, you know, it's like, I think it was the last pay-per-view, Tommaso Ciampa showed up.
Mm-hmm. But we did have the surprise. We had Matt Riddle showing up and calling out Killian Dane, and they had a brawl. That was an unexpected moment that just sort of went, okay, it was there. It was cool, but it wasn't blow away. And I think part of it, and here's the thing, because there's changes coming. Like, we were expecting, okay, all these people are going to go up to the main roster, go up and start anew. But, and this is just me, the groundwork for whatever's changing with NXT is the reason why nothing changed.
I'm kind of wondering if they aren't going to start, like, swapping talent between UK and US, and you're going to move people around.
I don't think we're going to get that, because it may be more of the non-used WWE talent could be coming back down.
I feel like, though, that they should keep that really, really limited in terms of who they bring in, because you don't want to lose the purpose of NXT, which is to grow new talent, get them ready to go up to Raw and SmackDown, and then have them go. So you vacate those spots. So it's like, you know, Breeze and Fandango are good because there was a need for them there. They weren't being used on the main roster. And they're going to come back down and they're going to shine in NXT. The point is, you don't want to have them outshine everybody. And that could be a concern. But I mean, you know, if they wanted to bring back Luke Harper and put Luke Harper out there, you know, I think we'd all be okay with that.
We would be.
Since he's locked in till January, apparently.
But the point is, FS1 is coming. And I think tonight was evident that FS1 is coming. They're changing the format out of NXT.
Yeah, and they're putting NXT at 2 hours, if I'm not mistaken, for FS1.
That's
are they really?
That is the rumor.
Well, because no. Here's one of the interesting things. This most recent episode of NXT, the one right before the go-home, or the go-home one, was filmed very much, you know, was done very much in the way of a television show. Like, there were the breaks that you could tell that they were going to, like, cut to a commercial after matches and things. So I'm wondering if it was like, okay, this is our kind of, you know, soft run to get ready, and then that way they can be prepared when October hits and, hey, NXT's on the networks.
Well, I think this next set of TV that they're getting ready to tape will take them through pretty close to October.
We'll know more this week. We'll know how this get whenever they get back to Florida, see how many weeks they tape. You'll know what's coming.
Yeah.
All right. Let me answer something from the chat. Did WWE sign Austin Theory, or is that because of WWE's involvement with Evolve? We will know on Monday Austin Theory's status. Here's why. A new Performance Center class starts on Monday. Reportedly, he could be there. So you can put it together there. So that answers that question.
Ding! Sorry, let's get into the show. Watch our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211, because we've kind of already talked about it, but let's get into the matches, because we don't have a lot, so we can kind of break down everybody as opposed to SummerSlam, where we're just literally doing a highlight reel when this all goes down, because I'm not talking about 20 matches.
It's only 10 right now. Right now.
11 will be added probably tomorrow.
And everyone's making a big deal. It's TV-14. Oh my god, it's TV-14. Oh my god. It's pay-per-view. What do you expect? Anyway, let's get into it. Oh my god, they're TV-14 on pay-per-view? Oh my god. Could there be exciting violence and things like that? Shocker. It's pay-per-view. Anyway, what's the first matchup on this show?
All right, well, we were talking about it. Well, we actually didn't talk about it. It was the one match we did not talk about, and that is the tag match for the NXT tag titles, where you had Undisputed Era taking on the Street Profits. This had a really good build to it, where it's basically the Street Profits are here to prove they're legit. They're the real deal. And, you know, Undisputed Era, O'Reilly and
Fish.
I just blanked on his name for no reason. It's like, wait, what is his name? I know O'Reilly, but it's like O'Reilly and Fish. Anyway, they're sort of the benchmark in NXT. They're the top on the tag division. And the Street Profits are looking to take them down because, Fish and O'Reilly have taken everybody else down. They have a laundry list of everybody that they've gone through in NXT. And now the Street Profits are here like, hey, we're going to take you out. And that's like exactly pretty much what they did. The four of them had a really solid match. I feel like Kyle O'Reilly got to shine a little bit in this one, which he hasn't been able to do in a while.
He has. He shined very, very much in this matchup. They all went out. Dawkins was good, though I think he got blown up by the end. It was moving a little bit slower on those spears at the end. We had
they were working pretty hard. they were going pretty hard in this.
They put him to his limit on that one. You had Montez Ford trying to be the people's champion.
That was a great spot.
Oh, it was cool. Like
didn't complete it, but
didn't complete it. He tried for the people's elbow, couldn't do it, and then he hit the Uranagi, aka Rock Bottom, but we're not going to call it the Rock Bottom. Mauro's got to say Uranagi, so he can know his stuff. But it was cool. It was entertaining. Like, he brought the entertainment factor that this show needed, which is good.
It was. It was really good. I'm still maintaining that Montez Ford, if they ever break him out of that tag team, which I suspect they will at some point, has that shining star factor to him. Yeah. Like, especially with him being able to be on Raw and SmackDown every week, and you get to see more of him. You know, Dawkins is good. Dawkins is entertaining. I'm not taking anything away from Dawkins. But Ford has a swagger to him that is extremely noticeable, and it just shines.
Here's the thing with Dawkins. He's been in developmental for a long time, and he's your prototypical tag wrestler. He doesn't have the charisma to be on his own. He doesn't have the skill set to be on his own. But if you could put him with somebody who has all the extra tools, he works because he can play off of it.
Yeah, he's your prototypical big man tag wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one thing I do have to say about the Street Profits that I appreciate. Because you only ever really see it with the New Day, in a sense. And that's that the big guy acts as the one in peril at times.
Mm-hmm.
More times than not, you had your, you know, when you have your tag teams, you have your smaller guy who always tends to be the, you know, the source of the beatdown for a while. The big dude gets the tag, comes in, cleans house, and then you can reset from there, or it leads to your finish. With this one, it started early, and Dawkins was the one that was taking a lion's share of the beating, which to me is really interesting to see because it kind of flips the script. I mean, Ford came in, you know, had the hot tag, and then, of course, he had his kind of struggle moments until the very end. But it was just, to me, it was a nice change of pace when it comes to the tag wrestling, instead of having your small guy always be, okay, he's coming in, here comes 10 minutes of beatdown.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. So, in the end, the Street Profits come through, and they take down Undisputed Era. So, your reigning and defending tag team champions move on, and well, the prophecy of Undisputed Era walking out draped in gold is shattered in the very first match.
It hit a speed bump. It's fine. They still have two more chances. It's okay. So, okay.
I'm very, very happy that they did not put the tag team titles on Undisputed Era. Not that I don't like O'Reilly and Fish. I actually really love Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know why. I have this unexplainable love for him.
It's because he does stupid stuff and you feel, like, protective of him.
He's like an idiot. He really is. And I love him for it. Like, it's just, it's like, I just love Kyle O'Reilly and I don't know why, but I love him so much.
I think one of my early moments that I loved about him was, it was one of the early tag matches and he got, like, kicked in the head. And he does that kind of like psych out, like flex, and then just proceeded to fall back through the ropes. It was just this entertaining moment. I think it sums up Kyle O'Reilly. It's like, yeah, he'll take a beating and then he's getting ready. And then, oh yeah, wait, crap.
Well, he has the best reactions. Like, of that entire group, Kyle O'Reilly literally has the best reactions to everything that they do. Like, he just, he does the indignation so well that it's just like, I love you. I love you so much, because it's like, I adore anybody that can do what he can do. Like, it's just, that just sells it.
I do have to say, though, I really do think that Adam Cole gave him the run for money in terms of reactions in tonight's main event, because there were a few moments that we'll touch on later that I just looked at and popped just because of simply his facial reaction to the situation.
Adam Cole is right there with O'Reilly, but O'Reilly has the type of face that it just all works. It all works. Like, I love Adam Cole too. He's very pretty to look at, but it's just like, Kyle O'Reilly reminds me of a lot of people that I went to high school with. It's like, I just see that and I was like, yep, love you, yep. He has that doofus, I hate to call him that, but it's like he just has this doofus look to him. And when he reacts to stuff, it's perfect.
The doofus look starts when he comes down to the ring.
Yeah.
Just pointing that out. By the way, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and now back, streaming on TuneIn Radio. Yay! Things automatically just started working. So, hi, everybody. We've
been having technical issues this evening, so just bear with us. We're trying to get through it.
It's going to be a long night. Anyway.
It's going to be a very long night. So, yeah. So, we're just sitting here chatting about how much we all love Kyle O'Reilly. We should really talk about NXT TakeOver, which is what we're actually here to talk about. But we all love Kyle O'Reilly. He's amazing. Anyway, moving on.
Just so, for the thing, Street Profits retained.
Woo-hoo! They brought the swag like nobody
just
can.
Want to make sure we got that in.
And can I just say, point?
Yep.
Yeah, don't go into those right now.
I mean, that's the start of... Okay. Anyway. It goes downhill in a little bit. Anyway. Next match.
We did talk about this one. We had Io Shirai taking on Candice LeRae. I don't know who did Io's new gig or gear, but you know, you gotta knock me dead like that. Like, you know, she walked out and it's like, damn.
This is what happens when you have 6 weeks to put together an outfit.
She did a really good job. Whoever did that gear, top notch.
The new entrance and intro. Oh, yeah. Dark EO just works.
Okay.
It's so good.
It works very well. So the matchup started slow. It actually started out fast, where she put her, Io put Candace on the table, suplexed her on the table. But they built a slow match early, and they had to get the fans into it. They tried to really hook the crowd, and it's like, okay, they're doing a basic match, and you're getting every little bits in here and there, and it's like, okay, this will be over soon, and then it's like, nope. We kicked in the gears, we turned it up like five notches, and holy hell, we had a fantastic matchup between Candace and Io, and as I said at the top, they won the crowd over. Like, Io's good, and it's like, alright, the crowd respects her, but they're also booing her, because she's a heel, and they're giving Candace the polite cheer, and then everything just turned it up.
Yeah, Candace brought it, Io. Io's new personality, as much, you know, when it first happened, I didn't know if it would work, just because Io has been so bright and shiny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this darkness just works, and just...
It's cockiness. Even, it's not dark, it's
the
cockiness
is like, she'd hit the move, and you would just see her stand over her and smile, and it's like, oh god, you're vindictive, and this is great!
Well, I think it was actually on Tumblr, that this version of Io is taking her closer back to what she was in Japan at one point, I think right before she left, which is she's not necessarily heel, but she's not necessarily face, but she just doesn't give a crap, and she doesn't need anybody, and she's going to do her thing, and she doesn't care whether you like it or hate it, she's going to do the thing, and... I love that about her. I love that they, you know, it's like, yes, she was bright and she was happy when she was with Kairi Sane and we loved her then. I love the new attitude. I'm with Brent. It just all works for her because she is such a badass.
And she showed it. And she showed it in this matchup.
They both did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all know Candice LeRae can, you know, whoop up and take no names, and she did that, and I was so happy that they won over the crowd, because this did wonderful things for both ladies, even though Candace ended up losing this match and Io won, which she should have won. They both showed up and they both proved something tonight to the crowd, and because they won the crowd over, I feel like that's going to carry forward.
KB8200, thanks for following. All right, continue.
Hi, thank you. This is going to carry through to other shows in the future and help build them on the brands, because now it's you're getting Candace more involved in the product, and I think they've been very cognizant of using her sparingly.
This is the first time she got to beat Candace. This is the first time she was on a takeover. This is the first time she's had an extended match that went more than 6 minutes on television.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. This is her first match really on TakeOver.
This is her first TakeOver match. This is her first long extended match, and on TV, that is. And it was really good, because she was able to work. She was able to prove that why they signed her there. She was able to prove her reputation that she's really good at what she does. And she showed it by she understood what the crowd was seeing and went, okay, we need to take this up a notch. We need to get this crowd invested. By the end, after near fall, after near fall, after near fall, big move, big move, big move. They got this crowd hooked.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect art.
I was going to say, touching on what you said earlier, with this being her first takeover match, before she was always Mrs. Johnny Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was, oh, she's the backup for whoever's fighting Shayna, essentially. And then, yeah, she was Io's friend, and then that kind of imploded, and she's finally gotten that chance to shine, and tonight she showed she can do offense, she can sell, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, even in a losing effort, you came out of this going, holy shit, Candace... I mean, I think it was Johnny even put out there, Candace freaking LeRae. And it's just like, yep. But the other thing I liked was, you started to see Io going slightly crazy through the match.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't put her away.
It was one of those things of, you know, hitting a move, oh, this should put her away. One, two, no. And you just saw her face of like, okay, what's going on? Go in.
Especially when she hit the moonsault. Like,
it was, yeah.
That was
when that moonsault hit and she couldn't get the pin, yeah, she just looked frantic. Like, What do I have to do?
It's like, that normally works. Why did that not work? And it made Candace look like a boss. If you're not familiar with Candace LeRae, if you've never seen her do what she does, she used to beat the crap out of men.
Mm-hmm.
Joey.
Yeah.
Like she's
she's a badass. Tough little cupcake.
She's a badass. And she, like, this matchup elevated her stock. She went from mid-carder to upper mid-carder just based on performance. Did she lose? Yeah. But she didn't tap. She didn't get pinned. She passed out.
She passed out to a really interesting looking submission.
Yeah, the Coachy Clutch, I think it was, or something like that. Whatever it was really good. Like, there was one spot in this matchup, the German suplex. Ooh.
Oh, when they both hit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Io pulls it out, and then Candace hits that immediately following stalling one, and you were just going, okay, they both can go.
Yeah. Oh, one of the other things with Io was, like, when she would counter some of Candace's moves and she would land on her feet, and she just stood there and, all right, I beat that. Like, there's the cockiness, the swagger, it was all there. Oh, and the reverse Frankensteiner? Whew.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
What was that, other than sick?
That's the best way you could put it. It was sick. This was great. This whole match, to me, the best wrestling match of the night was this match.
Yeah. This took top honors in terms of a non-gimmicked match for me.
This sums it up, and this was just tweeted out by Candace. If nothing else, I finally got to be Candace LeRae.
Yep.
That and let's hope they can continue letting her to be Candace LeRae.
That sums up that whole scenario. She got to be her. And that's what I said. She got to be who she was. And it was excellent.
Well, I feel like they've been trying to work her into the product. And it's something that they they didn't have to, but they had to have her be with Johnny because they're so synonymous with each other that it's like, it was going to be really difficult with everything that was going on at the time, because that's when he was feuding with Tommaso, for her not to be a part of that. And so it's like, you work her in as his wife, and then you work her in as the friend, and you slowly start to bring her to TV. And I think it's been a little bit longer than they probably wanted it to be, but there's some other stuff that's been going on. And then they've now finally brought her fully to TV. So I'm fully expecting that they're going to start to push her relatively hard, because she could be that top star in NXT. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if maybe they don't point her at Shayna Baszler again
Jersey girl, Breeze Baby, whatever you want to call her, goes, who will take the title off of Baszler? It could be Candace. It legitimately could be Candace.
Sweet victory would be Dakota Kai.
If Dakota Kai gets healthy enough, that could be. It could be that story. You could tell that story on FS1 and television. You can get to that point if you really want to.
I mean, they're clearly they're waiting for something. The question is what and who.
And we'll figure that out.
We'll get there. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say I'll bring up what we talked about in chat later, but they can't do one thing that they've already done before, because they need to make someone. They have a chance to do it, and this time they need to do it.
Well, I mean, and we're just going to skip over the three-way. Let's just go
Hold on. Let's talk about the three-way, because we've basically talked about it. Velveteen Dream won. He had an awkward entrance.
No, half the entrance was amazing.
There were Mounties,
and then they started dancing, and then they celebrated the Toronto Raptors basketball victory. Mm-hmm. And then they brought out Velveteen Dream, and it was just like, okay, all right, I guess that was cool. It was a little weird.
Dream was essentially a male stripper for his entrance. That's all it was.
Well, he's always a male stripper for his entrance.
I understand, but here's the thing. It's like, in previous, there was more flash to it. There was more about it. If they had carried through the intro part of it, which, by the way, kudos for the Mountie reference. I was secretly hoping that would happen, and it did, but it just kind of like they did that, and then all of a sudden, yeah, it turned into the Toronto Raptor dancers, and they were, you know, out there busting a move, and I think everyone kind of went,
huh?
Okay.
And then Dream came out and basically just kind of stood in between them and like kind of took his shirt off, but then didn't, and then basically blew them off and just went to the ring, and it was again, okay.
I feel like like, they tried something with the entrances, and I just don't know. They were the big, in quotations, entrances were just a little off.
Yeah, it fit the theme of the show. Everything that happened tonight, for the most part, was just not underwhelming, but just off.
I feel like they had somebody else doing the show from, like, they had a changing of the guard in terms of who was either producing the show or who did the entrances or who just kind of did everything in general. It feels like there's been kind of a change in the product, and it was very noticeable tonight that this was not the same person. I swear to God, it's not the same person that did the last takeover.
And it could still be. There is a change. It could still be the same person, but there was different ideas, and sometimes the ideas don't work. These ideas could have looked great on paper when they thought them out. They just didn't come across as well as they should have.
Yeah, but I mean, the three-way for the North American Championship was good. It was entertaining, but it never quite hit fifth gear, and the trio never clicked. And in the end, you had Roderick Strong beat, or I'm sorry, no, I'm sorry, you had Velveteen Dream beat Dunn and Strong by pinning Dunn.
Mm-hmm. After Roddy hit his move, Dream hit the elbow and got the win.
Yeah, the ending came out of nowhere, and I think ultimately the match can just be summed up with, I'm going to use one opponent as a weapon against the other opponent.
Yeah.
Because it was always a powerbomb, slam, double Boston Crab, or whatever he calls it. It just seemed like, I'm going to take these two guys and use them against one another for moves. It just felt off.
I feel like Dunn's style didn't really fit, because Dunn is very methodical in what he does. He's not really a flyer. He's a brawler, and he's methodical, and he does wrestling, but it's like, with Dream and Strong, it's like it all just didn't, it didn't go. Yeah. It really didn't go.
All right, now let's get to the women's matchup you want to talk about.
All right, so shifting back over to the women really quickly, you had Shayna Baszler taking on Mia Yim for the women's championship. You had Mia have a quasi-awkward entrance. Why they put Matt Riddle on the end with his hair, I don't know. But if you know, I appreciate that you're using people backstage for the entrances, because y'all are trying to save money, but do not stick Matt Riddle on the end. Don't do it, because it was like, oh, hey, look, there's Riddle right there. Like, you could just, you knew it. You just knew it, even with the bandana on his face. You knew who that was.
So I guess you could say the entrance was lit.
It was Bro. So lit. Anyway, so, like we were saying with the Candice EO match, and you were saying that they have to make someone with Shayna. I think they're going to, but I think they're getting that next round of women ready to go. Because I mean, if you look at the women's division right now in NXT, it's kind of been suffering because they had a lot of injuries, so they've been trying to get people ready. And like I said, I think they've held back on Candice a little bit, and now they're ready to bring her to the forefront. They're bringing Mia Yim to the forefront, so they're building two really strong baby faces. You've got Io and Shayna in terms of your top heels, and then you've got your big card below. So I feel like they're still rebuilding the women's division a little bit, and that's why they're holding on Shayna.
It's interesting though, you mentioned mid card, because don't forget there was someone who was fighting for the title, I want to say what, two takeovers ago, that's kind of an afterthought right now in Belair.
Yeah, she had like one match on TV, and that's about it since then.
They've cooled her off, and that's kind of remarkable considering how much they built her up and how much they had her, you know, really standing up to Shayna and the girls. And then it was like after her two attempts at the title, it was okay, next.
Well, I feel like for her, they didn't have anybody else for her to really go against. I mean, she's extremely good, and they don't need to do a lot with her because they brought her to TV really, really fast. But, I mean, it's like after Shayna, who do you take her to? There was nobody else to put her with because you didn't have that next heel. So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Bianca doesn't show back up at some point to feud with either like Io or take another shot at Shayna. or you create a third heel for her to feud with. Like, you have somebody, you know, again, you're talking about infusing the roster with main roster talent. You have somebody come down, i.e., could Sasha Banks show back up?
Maybe. I don't think she goes back down. But, and here's one of the things is...
Sarah Logan or
something. But no.
Yeah, or someone like that.
But here's the thing, and this all goes back to why Bianca fell off. They didn't have time to prepare because they taped TV so quickly. People got lost in the shuffle. You did not have the time to point her in a new direction. You gave her one match against somebody on television, and that was it. She got to showcase herself again, but she was not a focus because she lost and she was done. Now you had to rebuild her, but you didn't have time to rebuild her. This may, 2 hours may help with their growth, not using them every week, but they have a lot of talent down there that you do need more time. Whether it's 2 hours, whether it's 90 minutes, whatever it is, they need more time to grow some of these talents and showcase them because there's a lot of them like that don't make television that are really good.
Keith Lee.
Damian Priest. And there's like so many women on that roster that don't make TV, but are ready for television.
And I think 2 hours for NXT could work because I think that's the sweet spot.
Well,
don't get overtaxed on things. You can still fit in all of your necessary breaks. You can highlight people. You can still hold people back for in between weeks if you need it, but it's not 3 hours of Raw, which just by that third hour you feel like, oh god, is this still going?
No, and 90 minutes is even more perfect, but 2 hours, you still have your 2 hours and you still build to your takeovers and you still give us the 5 takeover matches, but you have more importance on the television to let more people shine. And this is where EC3 struggled down in NXT for a little bit. He got lost because there's nothing for him to do. Why is he being lost on main roster? Because There's nothing for him to do. And that sort of happens with a lot of talent. Like, they did a whole breakout tournament with people that they had just get on TV. Like, there's 8 people right there that they're trying to get on TV that they don't have room for, so the 2 hours will help.
Yeah.
And the thing with NXT now is I don't think certain people are ever going to go to the main roster. I think there are certain people now that they've seen the experiment. They know what's going to resonate with the NXT crowd versus the main roster crowd. And it's like, okay, all right, they're going to hold certain people down there and they're just going to keep them down there because it's like they can shine really, really brightly down in that roster, and they don't need to go to Raw or SmackDown, especially if there's no room.
Well, especially if they're getting their own TV show on FS1. Mm-hmm.
That would make sense.
This is becoming its own full brand. And I mean, we've talked about it before, but now you can actually have people who, if they stay on NXT, it's not like a demotion. It's not that you failed. It's just, this is where you fit. You belong, you know, you appeal to an indie crowd as opposed to someone that can appeal to the 10 to 20,000 on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different perspective. It's a different voice. It's main roster is still very much Vince and his presentation and how he does things. NXT is Hunter. It's all Hunter. Vince does have some involvement in it, but ultimately this is Hunter's brand. He runs it. He makes the decisions on it. So you see the difference between the two different voices, the two different perspectives in terms of the business. And Hunter, I think, has his thumb more on the pulse of the industry at this point than Vince does. He just does because he has the time to do that. Not much of it, but he has the time. So, and maybe getting TV, 2 hours of TV will help. I think more time would help them. But what you can do is you can turn Evolve into what NXT used to be. And then NXT becomes its own product.
And that doesn't really work.
You don't even need to involve NXT. You have your Florida house shows to continue to be developmental, if that makes sense.
So you build those people up to hitting TV as essentially it would be the former NXT to main roster call up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you still have that.
Anyway. And you can move people around, but yeah. I mean, NXT should be its own thing.
Yeah. So Shayna retained. We've mentioned who we think she could lose it to. We all previewed and said, hey, this is the time. This is the time. This was the time. I was like, hey, I'll buy into your theories. Like, this is the time. And
I think part of it was also some of there was talk when we were doing the preview show as well of like, oh, these people are getting ready to move up. And I think tonight's show has shown that idea of, well, maybe if there isn't stuff for them on the main roster, it's not time for them to move up. It doesn't mean that change isn't coming in the next couple of weeks, but instead of, as we would normally say, oh, it's Shayna's turn to come up, time for her to drop the belt, and then, oh, she'll be coming up the week of the, you know, Raw after SummerSlam. Now it's maybe, no, they need to transition it and make sure that stuff is good before they just cut her loose and then go, okay, now what do we have in the division?
Yeah, I think there has been a solid hold on anybody really getting called up. I think if there's a spot for someone, they'll bring them up. But the general call-ups at the big pay-per-views, I think, are stopping. Because they have more talent on Raw and SmackDown than they know what to do with. You don't want to add to that burden by calling somebody from NXT and then they sit on the bench and people lose interest in them. And then you have to reintroduce them with something that people may or may not connect with. So I believe that's what they're doing. I don't know. But anyway,
go ahead, finish your thought.
This match was good. This match was entertaining. Getting back to the actual pay-per-view because we tangented, so we need to get back.
Yeah. It was a good match. It was okay. It was an okay, solid match, but it never hit home. One thing you want to talk about, send-offs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this was it for Wolverine. I think this was it for Iron Man. I think this was it for Johnny Wrestling. I think. Because I don't know where you go from here. Because it's hard. You don't know where you go. You can't go back to that. You can't do any more with Johnny. Like, Johnny's
got to go.
He's told his story.
He has to go, but
you don't want him to go, but he told he's told his stories.
I know. I'm just also, because I'm like this, I was watching the stuff before the pre-show and everything, and they were talking about just how he is in NXT. And, you know, he's the benchmark. He's the example that everyone points to, and he's doing some producing down there.
Well, I mean, he could be retiring, too. I mean, that's the flip side of it, is maybe he doesn't want to go to the main roster. Maybe he wants to transition to a backstage role.
Or he just was learning stuff as he was healing up. He was banged up a little bit, so he was doing other work while not getting in the ring. That's why he was producing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just don't...
You don't want him to
Now is not the time to move him to the main roster. Now is definitely not the time, in my opinion.
But there's no more stories to tell with him. And I know, that's the problem.
I know, but like I said, if you move him to the main roster now, he's going to be fighting Drew Gulak in 6 weeks.
I don't disagree.
That's all he's going to do.
I don't disagree. But there's no more stories.
The only thing I can think you do is you have him go away for a month to 6 weeks, and then you bring him back. Like, you start to use him more sparingly now until the product kind of has a turnover. But the problem is like, as long as Adam Cole is sitting on top, there's nothing for Johnny to do. And I think they're honestly getting ready to bring Ciampa back. And you're going to have Ciampa take the shot at Cole.
If he's healthy enough, yeah. But, all right, that's a tangent. Let's get to the match because, yeah, we have other things to do tonight.
Because the match had stuff happen.
All right, so your main event of the evening was Johnny Gargano dressed as Wolverine taking on Adam Cole, who was dressed as Adam Cole.
By the way, we talked about it on Thursday. I asked the question, and the answer was Wolverine.
I said, yeah, we said either Deadpool or Wolverine because they are the Canadian comic heroes. He comes out wearing Weapon X gear, and all I can do is just go, oh, Johnny, you lovable dork.
He never disappoints on that.
No, he doesn't.
This was a triple threat match for the title. For the title, where first fall was picked by first fall was picked by Adam Cole, second fall was picked by Johnny, and if it's split, then William Regal got to pick the third fall in terms of the stipulation. So, for your three matches, triple threat.
It's not triple threat. It's two of three falls. Two of three falls.
Or three stages of hell.
But
three stages of hell. Just let let me go
it's
with
not,
this.
It's not a triple threat. That's wrong. It's
God
incorrect.
God damn it, this is my show. Just you, let me go with this.
You're wrong.
You're just the producer.
You're wrong, though.
And?
Just pointing it out. It's 2 out of 3 falls, and it's not 3 stages of hell because Triple H wanted it to be something unique. So it's not 3 stages of hell. That's out of his mouth. Anyway, continue.
Own it. So for match number one, you had a just standard regular wrestling match, which, okay, out of everything Adam Cole could have picked, it's like you picked that. All right. No, fine.
Like, no, it was Johnny.
I like the psychology behind it, though.
Wasn't Johnny the one who picked the
regular match? Johnny picked a street fight.
Adam picked.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. Aaron.
Adam picked the singles match, the straight singles match, because he said, in the previous two,
that's the one he
pinned Johnny, so he could do it again. Okay. I loved the psychology of that, of like, I'm going to pick the match that I know I've beaten him in.
And it ended in DQ.
It was such a great moment!
That was such big dick energy. That really was. I'm sorry. Like, Johnny Gargano's standing there. They're going back and forth playing with a chair. Adam Cole doesn't want to use it because he knows that if he uses it, he DQs himself. And the fall goes to Johnny Gargano. Johnny's like, F it. Smack! And then he gets disqualified because you hear the ref through the camera mic going, I'm going to disqualify you if you do that. You use it. If you do it, okay, smack! Ring the bell! Well, you know, winner of the first fall, Adam Cole by disqualification. And Johnny just sits down in the chair and is like, okay.
Before he even sits down, like, he just, they're making the announcement, and he looks, and he just kind of goes, oops! It's like, jeez, it's normally the heel move of, like, I'm gonna get myself disqualified so I can beat the ever-living hell out of you for fall two. But for once, you had the babyface pull it off, and I mean, part of it looks like you look at him and go, God, that was a really stupid move. But then another part of it is just like, no, you knew what you were doing, that's actually really good.
I have ultimate respect for that, because at some point in that match, Johnny Gargano just literally went, F it, I'm done, I want to get to where I can just hit you with anything I can find, so I'm gonna make that happen.
And the best part, though, was, so he hits him, they make the announcement, and he repeatedly beat him with it, too. It wasn't just the one, it was about 5 chair shots.
One for the DQ, and then the rest were just to...
Yeah. And then that's when he sits down and he looks, and the announcement comes up of, and now the match is a street fight. And I love the look, because Johnny's pointing at, you know, he follows it through, points at Cole, and then the camera beautifully goes to Cole, and he has the look on his face of, oh shit, I'm gonna die now.
And that first fall went almost 21 minutes. Like, that's, like, we went through the era of the quick 2 out of 3 falls matches on Raw, where they went a minute. This first fall went almost 21 minutes.
Yeah, it needed to go long. It needed to showcase just pure wrestling before it got into the car wreck.
Chaos. It had to go to chaos at some point, and it did.
And so then we had the street fight where they went all over the building. We had crowd diving where they fought in the crowd. They fought around the ring. There were various weapons thrown around. I don't even think I could describe all the things they hit each other with and they did to each other. Tables got involved. Somebody went through an announce table. I think it was Adam Cole.
Adam Cole got backdropped through the Spanish announce table.
So there was that, you know, just general mayhem, destruction, and beating the crap out of each other. And, you know, no surprise to anybody that Johnny Gargano wins the second fall in this match because, you know, reasons. So we're tied 2-2. Or, I'm sorry, 1-1. So we need number two. We need that deciding factor in this match. And hey, guess what? It's going to go to 3 falls. And William Regal has named the third stipulation, which I forget what he called it. But
he didn't call it anything. It was during the pre-show. They showed what his devious mind came up with. And all he said was, there will be a definitive finish to this match.
And they called it some sort of demonic cage match.
Demonic structure.
Whatever it was. It had barbed wire at the top. It had weapons all over. You name it, it had it.
Let's just call it what it was. It was the Ambrose Asylum.
Which, honestly,
taken up a notch.
I'm sorry, that has, like, Abyss and Borash all over it.
That has
handprints all over it. You could just tell.
Lethal Lockdown. This was Lethal Lockdown.
That's exactly what it was.
Without the top of the cage. Without the roof.
Not Lethal Lockdown. What was it? Clockwork Orange, House of Fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raven's Rules.
Raven's Rules. That's what this was. Except it was a cage match. A full cage match. And you could not escape the cage, which was a nice touch.
And again, the facial reactions were great. Because Johnny picks up the pin, or picks up the submission. And he goes to the corner. And you just see when they start to lower it from the hidden structure up top. Because the guys didn't know what was coming. It was just Regal who showcased it, and everyone else kind of knew. But they played it up that the guys didn't know what was coming. Johnny's sitting back there, and he almost looked like Mankind in that he's smirking as he sees all of these toys coming down. And Adam Cole looked utterly horrified by this structure.
Adam Cole is laying there and he's looking up the ceiling, and you can literally see him doing the math in his head of, okay, so this thing is dropping how fast? Can I get out of the ring? Will they stop me? Can I move that quick? Like,
can I move back to Panama?
He's just horrified. It was wonderful. Like, it was such a great reaction to that whole thing. Johnny's over there maniacally laughing.
And Johnny,
like, oh, you learned from Tommaso.
And I can use that, and ooh, that'll be fun.
And speaking of, ooh, that was fun, Johnny learned he could be Triple H for a moment and went, ooh, sledgehammer, ooh.
Yeah.
Two of his boys fighting over the dad's toy. It was amazing.
The best part of this was as the cage is coming down, which it was a really nice touch that they had it covered up. You couldn't see it. And then you had the announcers react to it as if they haven't seen it all day. And they're just like, oh my God, there's tables, there's chairs, there's a ladder. Mara Ronaldo's like, holy crap, is that barbed wire I see? And then Beth Phoenix comes in and she's like, there's handcuffs. Oh my. And I'm just sitting Beth. There and I'm like, Beth, don't pretend you haven't seen those before. We all know who you're married to. Let's just...
Adam's at home just like, honey, earmuffs.
Like, it's just like, as this cage is dropping, she just says that and it's like, oh.
But they went at it. Gargano at one point cut barbed wire off the top of the cage.
Wanted to use it.
He tried to use it. God, they just went at it.
The double kendo stick leading into the double super kick spot was nice.
That was great. Whatever one of Cole's finishes is, the flip thing.
Oh, the Panama Sunrise.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Off the ladder as well.
Yeah.
Was amazing. Although, I do have to say, they'd worked the leg the whole match, and yet when he has to hit the Panama Sunrise, he does it fairly effectively.
But, okay, they explained, like, they sold that during the women's match. It's adrenaline. It's just, like, unconscious adrenaline just going for it. So it's like they pre-sold that early. So it's fine.
I know. I just kind of wish, like, after he'd hit the ground, he'd kind of, you know, do something with it. If I have to call out one company for it, I'm calling out both.
Oh, yeah.
Fair.
They need more. It could have been better selling, but at least there was pretense behind it. They were telling us why early, why it
yeah,
would happen.
Yeah, they were explaining it as opposed to other people that just, oh,
What are the rules?
We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So this is a good, really good main event that saw Adam Cole retain.
After a stupid, crazy, insane finish to this match, which was both men went off the top of the cage together through two tables.
One and a half.
And whatever.
They missed the one.
It was there. And Adam Cole ends up literally on top of Johnny Gargano and gets the pin. That is legit how this ended, is Johnny Gargano is just laying there unconscious, sprawled over this broken table, and Adam Cole just kind of throws an arm over him, and the ref's like, 1, 2, 3, you win! Which was just a really great finish. I love when, like, because it was such a great sell. It's like, there's no struggle, it's just Adam is like, just count it, please just count it, please don't kick out, please, I'm done, I want to go home, just lay there.
It's the happenstance finish of, no man really won tonight. It just so happened Adam got the pin.
It's just so happened Adam landed on top.
Yeah.
That's how he won, is he got the very fortunate luck of landing on top of Johnny Gargano instead of it being the other way around. So this was a nice way, if this is Johnny's last hurrah in NXT, to go out. It was a stellar match, and I think everybody was sort of waiting for something to happen at the end, because afterwards the cage goes up and Undisputed Era comes out to help Adam Cole up and out of the ring, and Cole did a really wonderful sell of being just dead.
What he does about he just sells being dead.
And so they kind of had to like half walk him, half drag him out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe the show went off the air, and after the air they did a nice tribute to Johnny Gargano, which Regal came out and said farewell to Johnny with Candace there. It's out on Facebook if you want to see it. And I think Twitter too. But all in all, I don't know why, but I feel like they've changed the writing on Regal a little bit. I kind of want to see more of him. I know that's really weird to say at the end of a pay-per-view, but like, I feel like they're doing something just a little bit different with Regal, because they've kind of gone back to him having that really dark sense of humor again, where he's just thoroughly enjoying himself being who he is and a villain and everything like that. And I very much like that William Regal. Can we see more of him, please?
He's healthier now, so maybe.
Yeah,
he's feeling better, so.
I just kind of liked that idea of, there's going to be the 2 out of 3 falls match. You both get to choose whatever you want to, and if nothing is decided after that, I'm damn well going to make sure something's resolved.
Basically, I'm sick of this shit. We're ending it now.
Yeah, it's just, it's dad going to be like, okay, if you kids are going to fight, we're going to do this proper.
Well, it's not even dad, it's Uncle William.
Okay, yeah, Uncle William, I should say. Hunter's
dad. Uncle William is just like, I'm tired of your crap. I'm ending this because your father will not do it.
Yeah.
So this is how we're ending this. You're just going to fight in a cage till one of you is dead and pins the other one, and that's it. You're done. I'm giving you every kind of weapon imaginable to take care of this, short of like a flamethrower. I will say this to end this. I will say this, though. I'm a little disappointed that the creativity was not applied to put the barbed wire around the baseball bat.
Yeah, they didn't have the barbed wire wrapped thing.
Okay, so to explain that, the barbed wire was meant to keep people in. That's all it was there for. It was not meant to be some sort of weapon. It was just meant to keep them in, which is why you saw no barbed wire match.
But in other things, they've had barbed wire.
I'm wrapped. Someone asked about that, so I'm quoting what Triple H's response was. That was his actual response.
Well, look at you being the producer.
I know. Look at me finding information and giving facts to the story.
What was Abyss's thing called?
Janice.
They missed a Janice reference. they could have just like had it on top of the cage. Like, they don't use it. It's just there. And they could have had Janice there, and it just would have been like, everybody that gets it would have lost their mind. Or the baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire from Foley.
Barbie.
Like, no. We needed the plant.
Mitch?
We needed they Mitch killed Mitch at the very top of the cage.
Mitch is dead.
Yeah, Jericho killed Mitch.
Mitch 2. Fine. Mitch 2. The rebirth of Mitch.
I don't think there was a Mitch 2.
No, but if you still want Mitch, it's available as a 2-pack in a toy somewhere.
I need to find that. I really want to find that.
So, was this the best NXT takeover? No. Was it the worst NXT takeover? Hell no. Was it a solid outing? Hell yeah. Were there some great matches? Hell yeah. Was some stuff underwhelming? Hell yeah.
This was entertaining. And that's what this ultimately should be, is this is entertaining. This moves storylines along. It didn't drag. It was fun to watch. And that's what you want from TakeOver and from pretty much every pay-per-view. It's not the strongest outing NXT's ever had, but they're going to have ups and downs. And with everything in flux right now, I think that had a lot to do with it. And also, I feel like maybe they didn't want to do as strong of a show because SummerSlam is tomorrow. And there tends to be, every time TakeOver is before a major pay-per-view, everybody's like, oh my god, this was the best thing ever, and the main roster better watch out. Yeah, basically beat that. And I feel like they kind of backed off because of what they're trying to do with the main roster. I know that's not the case, but like, they are trying to do things with the main roster to improve it. And so the last thing you want to have happen is you have essentially the developmental brand brand show up the night before a big pay-per-view that you're getting ready to do and just destroy it.
Well, I mean, all in all, this pay-per-view or this network event, whatever we're going to call this, did what it was supposed to do. You had some resolution to some storylines. You've got some room to build if you want to carry some of them forward. But, you know, it did its role for this is the event after TV or that TV was leading to. Where it goes from here, we'll have to see. But it was a good thing for what it needed to be.
All right, Brent. Now I have the big question for you.
Oh, God.
Did we beat the eight ball?
Well,
I don't think we did.
Okay, so results. In last place and in first place are the following.
Oh, God.
Rock, Lindsay, Omega, the intern, and the 8-Ball.
Wow.
We all went 3-2.
Wow. Yes!
So
we went 500!
Here's how it broke about 500. Down. We all took Io Shirai, the 8-Ball took Candace.
Okay.
We all took Mia, the 8-Ball took Shayna.
Okay, we split on the women, okay.
We all picked the other opponents in the three-way match. It picked Dream.
Okay.
So, Rock and Lindsay went done. Omega and I went strong. It picked Dream.
I hold on, by the way. We all went points on that one, just saying.
We all did, and we got it wrong.
Oops.
All four of the human competitors, again, went the Street Profits, bringing swag like nobody can. They went Undisputed Era, the 8-Ball. And then finally, everyone and their mother, including the inanimate object, picked Adam Cole to win. Okay. So we all went 3-2.
Okay. Hey, least it all wasn't the same.
Yeah, well, and remember, this was one of those things where we talked about earlier of we didn't know how a couple of these matches were going to break. Were they going to go the Undisputed Era draped in gold? You know, was it time for Shayna to drop the belt? We all wanted Io to win because we thought it would keep the, you know, her recent heel turn moving in a good direction. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was just kind of up in the air with this. And I mean, we essentially broke even, but it was hard to pick some of these.
It really was. But that's it. We're done. We have other things to do tonight.
Yeah, so everybody stay tuned because we are doing Fortnite with Friends directly after this. So we're going to pause, we're going to reset, we're going to boot up our games, and then we're going to go in and we're going to be idiots in Fortnite and probably do challenges because I think I have challenges left. I don't know about Brent. Uh-huh. So, and I don't know about Rock. I think you're done with everything, right?
No, I have to search ammo boxes.
Oh, good luck with that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, everybody tune in and listen to the stupidity as we all play Fortnite, and we kind of have the post-show to the post-show where we just sit here and chill and talk and BS and play video games. So, that's coming up. And, Rock, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Following all of that will be CB Radio. What is the greatest summer blockbuster from the early 2000s? We'll decide it tonight. CBRadioLive.com, midnight, for about an hour from now. So stay tuned for all that. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will be live to cover SummerSlam. Monday night's Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday, you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs., the newest episode, 18, will be available on Tuesday night. We have book reviews coming. We are live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review SummerSlam. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com, so it's Wild Talk Radio Network. Record show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow and subscribe if you have that Twitch Prime account. Use it. Subscribe for free. It's just link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Ninja left you. We're still here, so subscribe to us.
Yes, please.
Use the credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. What? It's true. He left you. Sub here.
Anyway. You can still clip our stupidity.
I know.
Anyway.
Still here, bro.
Brent.
Well, you can find me mostly on either the Greater Than Great Debate or not CB or not so live CB Radio.
CB Radio, not so live.
Thank you. Or doing the occasional things like this. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at King Kittens, and I am now up to 2120 days straight.
Oh, Lord.
God. I worry about you Lindsay. A lot.
Oh, and next week is going to be fun. This time.
Yay!
I'm going to be dead tired, but it's going to be fun.
Cool.
Okay. Well, as long as it's fun.
Yep.
Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD, and you can follow my Twitch channel. Yes, I'm doing work on it, trying to get it live. Linsward, LNSWRD, if you'd like to give it a follow. Not going to mention the subscribe because I don't want to compete, but if you want to follow it, I'm hosting our shows on my channel right now, and I may start streaming live on there. I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, so do that. Also, check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Brent, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. Everybody sit tight. We'll be right back. We're going to do Fortnite with friends. So till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.